SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201. That was XM 201. 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website too, stevebick.com. And an absolutely beautiful morning here. Hope it's as nice wherever you might be. And I hope you had a nice weekend. As we continue to deal and continue to live through this difficult and on many mornings and many parts of the day, overwhelming and sad. You look at it's not enough that the people that the general public get sick, but the toll taking on medical staff, on the hospital personnel, and just, you know, there's so many people that circumstance like this, you find out all kinds of different people that have sons and daughters and mothers and fathers you name it, that are nurses and doctors right here in town. Actually, for us, one of the families that Tina and her boys grew up with, the Villafortes, their youngest daughter, who just got placed at Albany Med, and over the weekend, Governor Cuomo essentially activating recent medical school personnel, rushing up their official capacities as doctors. And just so happens that Ellen is one, just because they need the staff. So we hope everybody, that is so, the demands are so incredible on everybody. For us that are still able to enjoy the game, the racing is just a so anticipated and appreciated. And, even if you're not, all that keen on each of the venues that are available domestically or internationally, and certainly the Australian racing and Hong Kong over the weekend was very entertaining. The racing from Australia, I'll give those results. And in fact, Dick Powell with the $17 Australia Derby winner. Good job by Dick. And there was other nice results. But, even if you're not a big Oaklawn fan or a big Tampa fan or a big Gulfstream fan, just that it's there and that you can look at the PPs and you can just distract yourself for periods of the day. Yesterday, I hadn't necessarily intended to play, and I started to look at the Oaklawn sequence. I ended up putting the pick four together, got beaten that nightcap by Sha-Sha Shake Me Up. How about Keith the Sormo, $50 to 1. Going turf to dirt. I wish it would stop raining already in Hot Springs, by the way. Jeez. both yesterday and Saturday with the wet track. I didn't even notice Friday. Tina and I had... I will say we are getting plenty done, and whether it's the yard work or... Tina had a sewing machine delivered, and... she's big with crocheting, but and making blankets and all that stuff. But she had the inspiration to buy a sewing machine, and it took her about 10 minutes yesterday to bang out a half a dozen masks. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Betsy Ross Barbie. It's crazy. She made some for the kids in Brooklyn, for Spencer and his roommates, and then also for Andrea and Zach and the baby in Rochester. And then when it came to make one for me, she said, what do you want me to do for fabric? And so I'm looking around, and I found a T-shirt that I'd gotten from Capital OTB, and I never really looked at it. I'd never really looked at the thing carefully. And she took the T-shirt and made the mask out of the front, which had two horses on it. And all the years I've had these T-shirts, I've sent them out as prizes and stuff. And I realized it's Street Sense and Grasshopper from the 07 Travers. It's really cool. And so I've got a mask, and it's Robbie Alvarado and Calvin going at it. And by the way, we got to get an update today. Yesterday, in what was it? Was it the 6th or the 7th? Calvin unseated. In fact, that was a crazy race. It had all kinds of things happening. There was also incidents on the backstretch, and that horse of Joe Sharp's got pulled up. I checked with Joe Sharp, by the way, regarding that. In fact, here, let me pull that chart up. And that was in the 6th. And Calvin, right early on out of the gate, gets dropped and needed to be taken off on a board. Because, of course, the horses were going to come back around. It was a mile. This was a maiden claimer. And then, meantime, Kasseloff, early in the race, fairly early, had somebody run up on heels and cut him up. And so Martin Garcia pulled up Kasseloff, and he's fine. He's completely sound, just has some cuts. And actually Grover Capote was eased as well under the bug, Roberts. But Kasseloff, who was the favorite, 6-5, and Kasseloff, though, is okay. So those that are wondering, and we'll get the update on Calvin. That was a good sequence yesterday, and until I got beat in the nightcap. Sha-Sha Shake Me Up, 49-20-1, paid $100.40, the Shackleford colt. And in fact, after talking last week with John Phillips from Darby Dan, this happens to be a Darby Dan bred colt. Sha-Sha Shake Me Up, who, of course, earlier in the spring participated in the Sugar Bowl, the LeComp, the Risen Star, then tried turf sprint, and then going turf to dirt under Stewie Elliott. And just came storming. Marvin looked like a winner who's been very consistent. And of course, the big disappointment in this was Ginobili at 4-5. It basically opened at 1-5, went up to 3-5, goes off at 4-5, and stunk. And I mean, at no point did Ginobili look like he was going to be involved in this. I made a sound of disgust and I told Tina, or I grunted or something, and she said, "What?" I said, a chicken in a pot here. Then I had a chance with Marvin to get at least 50 cent, the 50 cent version. I had about a buck and a half. I think I would have had three times with Ginobili and one time with Marvin. And Marvin, I think, was, worth like 300 and change. And looked like a winner for, the 16th pole maybe, and here came Sha-Sha Shake Me Up and Stewie Elliott. And the pick four, for those that hit, $2,000, $18. And this was obviously the tough horse to have. Aw Emma, nice performance from Aw Emma for Dallas Stewart. And Dallas was instrumental both Saturday and Sunday, because Dallas also had the well, and of course, oh, actually, we got to talk about that. We'll talk about that with Johnny. The eighth race on Saturday at Oaklawn, with winning impression being taken down, and it was really a bad call. Let's be honest, it was not a good call, and one of the reasons I don't get crazy about DQs. I got put up personally for a nice try, and so I had no complaints. But and this is why you just roll with the punches. Good call, bad call. You just hope that, you know, when the clock strikes midnight, you came out ahead for life in with DQs. You just can't. There's nothing you can do. This was a bad call. Rocco essentially going past Answer In, who was done. It was not the Talamo had no horse. And so anyway, Finnick the Fierce gets put up, and that was a nice performance, I got to say. Finnick the Fierce, considering the eye and the fact that he was in the one hole, and a good job by Martin Garcia to try to get him off the rail eventually. And, you know, it's a difficult equation for one-eyed horses. And if it's the eye that is diminishing their ability to see, you know, to their outside. And this was a good performance for Finnick, and gets put up at 6-1. General Trev, the Asmussen second, and Adhar pushed up to fourth. And so it ended up being a $330 triple for a buck. So this was all right. I mean, but I'm the first to admit, had no business being put up, but it happens that way. How about the stake? We're hoping to catch up with Wesley Ward today. Kimari comes back, and comes back beautifully. And I didn't know what to do with her. I kind of glossed over her, and you know. Yes, she won her debut on dirt, and, you know, that was back in April last year, so I don't know. I was unsure. She didn't mind the wet track, and if you were rallying outside, that was your spot. That was the place, it seemed, to be out in the four path. The Wagon Wheel Trail. We should get Robbie Davis and Rich Migliore on. And they'll tell you about finding that sweet spot on a wet track where the inside tire and the outside tire of the tractors compact things, and the footing is perfect, nice and firm. Kimari, under Channing Hill, and Frank's Rocket, mid stretch looked okay. Edgeway ran all right, was giving way, but Kimari just ran them all down and was pulling away. So we'll find out from Wesley what's going to go on. And then, you know, since we're talking about Saturday at Oaklawn, the nightcap, congratulations to Rick Hills. And I should really get a hold of Rick Hiles and talk HBPA with him. And we are going to talk to Joe Applebaum this morning. I want horsemen to understand the application process for the payroll support loans. So Rick Hiles actually would be a good call too, but the first time starter, 25-1, Don Vito Corleone. And, you know, this was that field that was just a hungry bunch that all looked about the same. And the fresh face was made plenty of sense. And I, as he was, you know, basically on the backstretch, you could see that he was moving nicely under Garcia, and the midshipman gelding, you know, with authority actually in the stretch, and wins, pays 50-60 for a $4,700 pick four. Pick five paid almost $23,000. So the Oakland action, that's kind of where I was focused Saturday, Sunday. And we've got plenty of other results to talk about. Well, not plenty, but a few. We got some. And that includes Kent Sweezy, who had an amazing day on Friday at Tampa. Wins three races, came back and won another one on Saturday. We're going to talk to Kent. Kent Sweezy, good job coming out of the Jimmy Jerkins Academy of trainers. The action at Gulfstream, too. Well, they had a big day on Saturday. And we got plenty of other things. We've got the Derby Future wager. I ended up making three plays, and we'll go over that. And I want to look ahead to tomorrow. If you didn't see the news from the Nebraska, everybody's favorite racetrack in Nebraska now, Fauner Park. Fauner is going to do a force out tomorrow of the Dinsdale Auto Group Pick 5, and it should be enormous. They'll probably bet more into it today, and assuming it doesn't get snatched out from under, they're going to do a force out. And, of course, people immediately thought that that meant that they were going to then suspend racing. It's not true. They rather than wait until the end of April, they're going to force one out tomorrow and then do the force out at the end of the meet. So Fauner Park races 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 tomorrow. And I've got them printed out. Haven't looked closely yet, but it's a 9 by 10 by 8 by 8 by 10 in the Fauner Pick 5. So maybe somebody today later we'll take a look. Johnny D is going to join us. I told you, Joe Applebaum, Kent Sweezy, Johnny, I texted him after that DQ on Saturday, and he said, good for you. I got taken down. he wasn't too mad. But this was one of those DQs that, you realize this is, one of the places where the rules, are a little, convoluted. So we'll talk about it with Johnny. We'll see what else he's been up to. And, of course, like me, Johnny and other Eagle fans, and, of course, all of New Orleans, particularly saddened by Tom Dempsey's passing. A remarkable person. I'm sure we'll talk about it with Johnny. Remember, I'm 60. So Dempsey, for those of us my age, with the, the disabilities, the arm and the birth defects and the half a foot and the 63-yarder that went down in NFL history, and it's, one of those records that really stood. And then he came to the Eagles, and he was terrific with the Eagles. And an outpouring of appreciation for Dempsey around the sports world. Yeah, very sad. There's been so many of these, and I'm sure by now most of you saw Tom Amos's dad. And you'll remember 2 years ago when I was in New Orleans for Risen Star Week, and we talked, and Tom's dad was in bad shape then, and was hospitalized, and they weren't sure he was going to make it then. But he made it another couple of years. Of course, Tom lost his mother months ago, so the Amos patriarch and matriarch reunited, and Tom with a very touching appreciation of his father, who was in the shipping business. And that came on the Fox show on Saturday. So hearts go out to the Amos clan. Hour three. I think we got a treat. There's been something I've wanted to do for years. When I tell you, there's a piece of paper I started making notes on 15 years ago, 10 years ago. I don't even know how long ago. And on the top of the page, it says Metro Turf, Figs Form, TRT, the Racing Times. I have wanted to bring together in sort of a reunion fashion the young writers and handicappers who were at the three late 80s, 90s era alternative publications. Metro Turf, I loved. Figs Form, that charted in Thorograph style, charted, you know, plotted horses' performances with the figs. And today we'll do some Figs Form. Evan Hammons will join us. And I think Eddie Fontaine. I put up that thing from Ed yesterday. The New York Post people went nuts. How to spot bad chalk. So we're hoping that Ed will join us. And I got the feeler out to Kenny Peck, too. Figs Form. The late Neil Cook, Jim Katsoulis, Fontaine, Hammons, Bob Scalza, Steve Feldman, Kenny Peck, Keith Fustel, Doug McCoy. That's going to be fun. Let's take a quick break. Joe Applebaum first at the races. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sportsform Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sportsform delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
You going to the party on Saturday? She asked us if I didn't know. See, ever since I saw you on the back of some guy's bicycle, well, I've been feeling kind of so, so, so. the story, to the story, to the story. I guess I'll never know. See, I was running as fast as I could, saying the things I thought I should, but it was just a little too slow. Oh, Elizabeth, don't keep me guessing. I opened up the door and saw you run, just in the words came out one after the another. You should have been my high school lover. Oh, you should have been my. Oh,
oh, we're back at the races, Cayucas. High School Lover. Great tune. We'll talk. I'll get you those terrific Australian results from Friday night into Saturday morning. A lot of fun. And in fact, Tina and I yesterday watched the Australian film Ride Like a Girl, the Michelle Payne, Prince of Penzance upset, remember, 5 years ago in the Melbourne Cup, 100-1. And it's really good. Rachel Griffiths from 6 Feet Under. Remember Rachel Griffiths? You know, right? And Saving Mr. Banks and other. Yeah, she directed it. Really good. Sam Neill as Patty Payne and the Payne, Stevie, you know, the Down syndrome strapper. It's fun. It's not Farlap, but it's okay. Joe Applebaum joins us, and of course, Joe with NYFA and handling so many things right now. Joe, first of all, hope you, the family, everybody safe.
Yes, so far so good. Fingers crossed. We're here in New York City. Everyone's healthy, especially my wife's a pediatrician at Mount Sinai. So, you know, we're obviously watching her closely, but so far so good.
Excellent. And so, you know, it's funny. I opened the show talking about, you know, the at risk medical professionals. My cousin Pearl's husband, Kenny Himes, who's a hematologist at Cornell NYU Center, and we can't be stressed enough the appreciation and concern for those that are on the front lines of this and who were. I mean, it's like the doctors in MASH units in Korea were better equipped.
Yeah, well, it's all of them, Steve. It's amazing. It's doctors, nurses, PCAs, nurses, assistants, the janitorial staffs at these places, you know, dealing with things that they never thought they'd have to deal with. The response here, obviously we're at the epicenter here, and the response has just been staggering. The volunteers and the teamwork, it's really impressive, and, you know, in face of just this massive adversity. So, you know, we should all, you know, let's hope 6-9 months from now, 9 years from now, that we all remember this, right? Like with the sacrifices and the dedication all these people have, even the guys delivering our food and stocking our shelves.
Yep.
We should just, you know, we should just remember that.
Without a doubt. Well, Joe, best wishes on that front. And let's address what came together late last week. We had talked to Keith Shamblin in advance of the very much attended NTRA teleconference with the principals and everybody interpreting the legislation in Washington to help equine business entities, and the loans could be filed on Friday was the first day. And I wanted you to join us and talk about the mechanics of this, Joe, and what you recommend for commercial breeders, for the trainers, and for anybody that you understand is eligible for the monies that are available.
Okay, so the first thing is, in New York, we're having a seminar at 11:30 today for our trainers, specifically for our trainers, okay? So if you're a New York trainer and you haven't got our multitude of emails and text messages, I don't know how we missed you, look it up. We're having a, or email our office, No one's in the office, but someone should get back to you. 11:30 today, we're having a seminar for trainers.
Where, Joe? At the rec?
No, nothing in person. It's an online seminar. Well, sorry, Steve.
But and how do they? What website? What's the address?
There's no, you know, I don't, it's like a special WebEx number because we're trying to keep it for this group to be able to answer their questions specifically. The best thing to do, if you don't have it, is to email Kathy Locke, our membership services coordinator, KLOCKE@NYFA.com, and she'll give you the dial-in. Okay?
Excellent.
Okay, right. So that's first and foremost. So there's two main programs, Steve, and I'm not an accountant. I'm not a financial professional. So the first thing I can tell you is I filled this out for my own business, my own breeding operation. The form is extremely simple, okay, especially for PPP or PPL, which is a payment protection plan. You need to download the form. It's extremely simple. It's mostly based around your payroll, okay? And that's really what this is designed to protect. It's designed to get money into people's hands so they can keep paying their employees. If you're planning on letting guys go, I would not apply for this because you're eventually going to have to pay the money back, okay? If you keep paying people, and I believe that the rate is at 75%, okay, then eventually these loans will be forgiven. Okay, this is under the PPL program. So it's mostly, you can put in some other expenses like rent and utilities and stuff like that, but 75% is meant to keep people employed. Okay, so there's really a couple steps. One is get the application, and two, talk to someone you have a banking relationship with. This is critical. It's best to go to the bank that you're already dealing with. This is going to be, it's federal money through the Small Business Administration, but the banks themselves are the ones who are going to be making these loans, okay? So that's the simplest, most direct process. Obviously, if you have an accountant, someone who does your taxes, I would check in with them to make sure you're calculating things correctly. So it's rather simple. If you're a trainer, jump on our call. We're actually using the same firm that the NTRA did, but we're going to drill down a little more for trainers typically. We thought that was an excellent presentation, and so we're bringing those guys back today, but trying to hone down for more backstretch-oriented stuff.
And Joe, one of the reasons I mean, in addition to your NYFA background and your NYFA management role, I was interested in the perspective because of your commercial breeding business. And so who do you, from what you can tell, who will this apply to? I mean, if it's applying to off the hook, it's going to apply to really anybody that employs.
I don't know. I mean, to be honest, we're going to apply. If they turn us down, they turn us down. They approved this about 2 weeks ago. They published rules on late Thursday night. Okay, they reinterpreted a number of those rules Friday, even though applications, some places aren't even accepting applications until today to get clarity on this, Steve. So this is the thing. It's a very fluid situation. So I would apply, okay? I think the key is getting in line and applying, okay, and giving your best estimate as long as you're doing it within the spirit of the guidelines. I guess that's the best thing to say. If you're there applying for money so that you can keep paying your people, I think you're going to be in pretty good shape. If you're there trying to get money for some other purpose, my sense is you're either going to have to pay it back or you're going to get rejected.
Interesting. All right. And
this is the PPL program. There's another program called EIDL. I think it's EIDL, which is more of a loan-based program. It came out earlier People got very excited about it because they thought there was a free $10,000 to it, and there might be. That one may have more flexibility, but again, I would check with your accountant and check with your bank. The best thing you can have is a banking relationship with someone, so you know, you can work through those things.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Joe, in addition to the programs that are out there, we're going to, you know, keep visiting. We're going to keep visiting with you know, anybody that can help horsemen and equine business interests in this arena. Let me ask you, in context of NYTHA and working with NYRA, where do things stand, Joe, from your vantage point in either a prospect of starting racing or, you know, the general advisory of where things stand right now?
Right. So let me cover a couple points. One, Steve, there's also some state programs available.
Yep.
We've been trying to pump out that information to our trainers. To be quite honest, the flow of information has been overwhelming, so we're doing our best to get it out there. But there's also state programs available to guys to give them tax credits for keeping quarantined workers on their payroll. Okay? And it's the right thing to do. And if we want to protect our backside workers, people need to know that if they're truthful and come forward and say, hey, I'm not feeling well, that we're not going to drop them. That's the only way we're going to stop this outbreak, especially on the backside where so many guys are living in dorms. Okay, and the state in New York is going to support you in doing that with tax credits on your payroll. Okay, so that's really important. We need to encourage people who aren't feeling well to stay home. And they need to know, and I'll tell you what we're doing in New York. We're feeding them, okay? Obviously, they're in a dorm, so they have a roof over their head. And we have to do our best possible to keep them employed so that they feel they can come forward, okay? So that's first and foremost, okay? Secondly, we're meeting with NYRA twice a day. NYRA, NYTHA, BEST. Our chaplaincy program, for those of you who don't know, BEST runs our clinic, our on-site clinic at Belmont, okay? We're meeting twice a day to monitor the situation on the backside. As everyone knows, we've had a number of positives. We have a bunch of people quarantined. We're doing that to try to preserve the health of the backside as best as possible. We've been working tirelessly with security and maintenance and HR and BEST and the chaplaincy or the guys on the front line delivering food, checking people for their temperature, making references to doctors, etc. So everyone in New York has been working incredibly closely together. It's really been impressive to see. Mostly, number one, to preserve the health of our backstretch workers, okay, because they are in a difficult environment, okay, and two, to make sure our horses are healthy. You know, we cut down training by one day, so there's 6 days of training, but let's be honest, like, no one needs to keep a horse sharp. We're not opening up tomorrow, okay? We need to be smart and understand where we are in the cycle of this, okay? As for opening, let's also be honest. Let's really, like, be honest with ourselves. We're in the midst of a crisis where New York's at the epicenter right now.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. It seems like the last couple of days, the rate of growth has slowed somewhat or even significantly, fingers crossed, that continues, and we start to see the downside of the curve, okay? This is all knocking on wood about 1,000 times because we don't want to get ahead of the statistics. But it seems like the rate of growth has slowed. The hospital capacity, they're predicting, is going to peak at the end of the week, okay? But we don't know what the backside of that curve looks like. Does the decline look like the ascent? Is it longer and slower? Is it quicker? We don't know. But it's clear that the physical distancing we're practicing in New York and many other places around the country is working, right? The growth rate is slowing. We just got to keep it up. So it's not really just up to NYRA, like they're going to decide, oh, we're ready to run.
Right.
Right? We have to, A, get through this health crisis first, get approval from the governor, right? They're not just going to open a racetrack and leave everyone else closed. And then we got to figure out, how does NYRA bring back their employees safely, and what's available to us? Now, the good news is we have a plenitude of facility, right? And they've been shut down. They're fairly pristine right now. We don't have a lot of, you know, sick workers running around them. So I'm hopeful once the kind of all clear is given, we'll be able to, we'll be able to launch again. But, you know, we're meeting with NYRA constantly, talking with them. You know, I talked to Dave O'Rourke several times a week. I talked to Martin Panza, Glenn Kozak, Will Allen Pajevic. Our executive director is in meetings twice daily with them, let alone talking to every other official we can get our hands on. So, and the other thing is this has been collaborative. I know people like to bemoan the state sometimes, but, we've been in constant contact with gaming, with the Department of Health, getting their guidance and feedback on, especially on our worker situation. And everyone, you know, everyone's left their egos at the door, and we're all just trying to work through an extraordinarily difficult situation.
Well, Joe, I really appreciate the update, and an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes away from an 11:30 seminar. I have tweeted the specific 4-page PDF for the payroll protection program, and I see already some horsemen elsewhere have taken note. Catherine Dave Phillips just liked it, in fact. And so if for those that haven't seen it yet, take a look at it and see about the eligibility and enroll. I talked to Gary Siaka and Josephine the other day. Josephine filed. She handles the business for Gary, and this will be an invaluable lifeline for what seems to be the anticipated downtime the next couple of months in New York. So this seems vitally important.
Not only that, I want to make one last pitch, Steve, and then I got to jump to another call. Beth, the Backstretch Employee Service Team, and the New York Racetrack Chaplaincy are really our frontline people, okay? They are delivering food, doing health checks. We in 3 days, we built a negative pressure room, okay? That's a room that we can put patients in, and in the hope that they don't, I know this isn't the exact right word, but contaminate other patients and staff, okay? We're doing extraordinary things. I know times are tough. I know many, many of us have had our income stream shut off, in a way that we're not prepared for. But if you have a couple of bucks and you have the inclination, we're spending every dollar in support of our work staff there, okay? Feeding them, checking on them, communicating with their relatives who don't often live here in the States. So if you have any money and you can spare a few, we could really use the money.
We had a visit last week with Humberto Chavez, and so courageous, and there's so many the same environment nationwide when it comes to the chaplaincy and the work, whether it's the Backside Learning Center in Churchill and of course BCCA, the Belmont Child Care Association, taking care of the children and keeping them busy during the afternoon and morning while parents are working, and all the elements of this, Joe. There's so many working parts, and we're happy to pass along links, and we directed people to the chaplaincy website, which is rctany.org, and you can donate that way, and others, if you got canned goods, you can drop it off at Gate 6, quickly pull off Hempstead and leave whatever you've got for canned goods. Joe Applebaum, I appreciate it. I'll get Kathy Locke's contact out to everybody for those that are listening that want to participate in today's 11:30 seminar to pass along these kinds of pieces of information and support. Thank you.
Okay, Steve, thank you so much. Thanks for keeping everyone informed. Everyone else, stay safe. Stay as best isolated as you can. Even if you're at a barn, just stay away from each other. Okay?
Exactly.
Stay away from each other at the barn. Work one-on-one. No teamwork.
Well,
I'm usually a teamwork guy, but no teamwork right now, people.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay? Use the recommended distance when you're hot walking anyway.
Space
between that space between horses, that's done for the same good reasons, to keep everybody safe, to keep horses safe and humans. Joe Applebaum, everybody. J.A. Goods on Twitter, Off the Hook. Of course, Joe's breeding and sales and pinhooking operation. And we appreciate the visit from Joe Applebaum. Let's take a break here. We've got visits coming with Wesley Ward and Ken Sweezy, Johnny D as well, Evan Hammonds later, as we have our first of the sort of reunions I've wanted to do for years. Figs Form, Metro Turf, the Racing Times, and some of you that are fairly new to the game, you're saying, what? Metro Turf? What is Metro Turf? Metro Turf was the coolest quick grab tabloid, when you wanted to go play the double, at lunchtime. It was great. And Metro Turf, that was when I was really starting to become a player, and it introduced a number of people at the time, including Dave Litvin. It was the first place I saw Dave Litvin. Greg Gallo was at Metro Turf, and Dave Feldman and Evan too. Evan Hammonds was there, as well as Ed Fontaine. From Figs Form, short-lived Figs Form. We're going to talk Figs Form today, though, with Evan Hammonds, and I'm hoping for Eddie. I'm waiting for Eddie Fontaine to confirm. But right now, let's take this break, and we'll come back. And I got to give you the results from Randwick, that Australian Derby, and what a great job by Dick giving you Quick Thinker, paid $17.40 to win the Australian Derby on Friday night. That was the So You Think colt. New Zealand bred, and actually, was he a New Zealand bred or an Australian bred? I think he might be an Australian bred. And then there was the Smith. I couldn't get Santa Ana Lane home. I was annoyed. He keeps finishing second. Santa Ana Lane second. Nature Strip for Chris Waller. And then there was the big upset, and we'll talk about the upset. Crazy, crazy upset in the Doncaster Mile, which was really good. And Nettoyer, for those of you who lived in Montreal, you know that that's a dry cleaner. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky Tracks for Horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
As I'm getting old, the chip upon my shoulder, rolling through life, you roll over and die. La 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 la.
Salad days, not exactly right now, but Mac DeMarco, very nice. And I want to thank Joe Applebaum for taking that time. And I'm going to try to get you Kathy Locke. I know she's on. I'm positive she's on Twitter, and but she's had a couple of different. She's had a couple of different addresses and or names. Let me see here. I will, you know what? I might even have her number to text her. I want to be able to put, to put you in contact with her. At the worst, I will send out the, as I type and here we go. All right, I'm sending this to Joe. There we go. All right. Kent's, I just was back and forth with Kent Sweezy too. We're going to talk to Kent tomorrow. He's just headed out. He took the day and is heading out fishing. I think these guys, the Tampa and Gulfstream crowd, they're big. They're big on the they're big on the fishing excursions. Of course, nobody's bigger on it than Joe Bravo, who we affectionately call the old man in the sea, and David Fox. I mean, those two, they're the drop of a hat. They're going to go out on a boat and bring home some fish. This is great. And, so he's out on a fishing excursion, himself. And, we'll talk to Kent tomorrow. And I just got the anticipated, highly anticipated confirmation. Ed Fontaine will join us. And Eddie just waking up. So we'll talk to Eddie at 11:15 as part of the Figs Forum, and you're really going to be entertained because this was a great concept, and all of these concepts, the Racing Times and Metro Turf, they all were innovative, and, you know, as they one after another, and of course the Racing Times, when Steve Crist, you know, went back to the form and he took so many of the, you know, the people that he had brought in to the Racing Times, but all of these publications from the late 80s, early 90s, they all the features, some of the innovation, all eventually, you know, found its way into the form. And we'll talk about that with particularly with Evan Hammons. And, of course, Ed went on to, you know, the long association with the New York Post. And Ed, you know, Ed, it's bittersweet because I think he saw the handwriting a little bit on the wall. And, you know, it was one of my great thrills in doing this show, and not just the show too. My work with Barry and Barbecue Bill at Carolina Barbecue, which started in 1999, you know, getting to know, and particularly getting to spend several years with Haskin and Fontaine, specifically, and specifically at Derby, because that atmosphere was so special, and there was such a history at that point, you know, particularly between the two of them, and you know, even though they had both, you know, come and gone from the form, and you know, Steve to Blood Horse and Ed to the New York Post, but you know, being kind of a wide-eyed neophyte at that point, it pretty funny, and getting to trail around with them was really the best introduction, you know, that goes back, God, it's over 20 years. So anyway, Ed Fontaine and Evan Hammons today to talk about their experience. And actually they both could address not just Figs Form, but Metro Turf too. And I'll put up, I've got some great pictures from, I've got two editions of Figs Form. And I found one readily. I think there's another one downstairs in the, we got a back room, sort of a, what they call a summer kitchen. And I've got it in there. And I've also got Metro Turf. I've got Metro Turf editions there as well, including the awful next morning copy after Breeders' Cup 1990. I've got too many of those. In fact, I've got so many. I went looking through two boxes this morning in my office, which has got virtually every racing form from the Triple Crown. I've saved every one from Breeders' Cup and Triple Crown events, and quite a few Travers as well. But the complete form, including the Peb artwork on the cover, and pretty much through the late 80s and into the aughts. I've got two full boxes and more. I found some other things that I save everything. I mean, it makes Tina crazy, completely crazy. And I've over the weekend, I've started to do some purging here, actually, truth be told. There's some stuff that's got to go. I just, you know, it's the Collier brothers. Steve Haskin will expand on that when we talk to him on Thursday. Why is it that so many of us are in this same, have the same mentality of just saving everything? I mean, I've got, from the time I started printing PPs, I literally have got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. There's 14 within eye shot, 14 binders, 3-inch binders, 3-ring binders of the PPs and probably Therograph and God knows what else, clocker reports from Triple Crown, all three Triple Crown events annually, and Breeders' Cup, same thing, like the forms, but from the era when I started printing out the PPs. And I've saved them all. It's so strange. Whenever I do a cleanup, I say to myself, all right, what are you saving this for? You're going to, you know, and to some degree, some of it, the idea was that it'd be fun to write some articles or some, you know, analysis and going back. And so I keep some of it with that in mind, but you know, how much of that? It's very tough. I find it very hard to raise your hand if you're the same way. You just can't bring yourself to throw this stuff out. I'll see what Johnny and see Johnny. I give Johnny a lot of credit. We're going to go to the break, and Johnny will join us. And he made the transition. He was one of the first people I knew that made the transition from paper to the tablet and you know, the iPad. And Johnny's old. Let's not kid ourselves. Johnny's, you know, yeah. He's dog-eared. He's done. Like Gary Young says, a couple of ticks past midnight. We'll see what Johnny's take is on this. My man Nick Hahn in Virginia checking in. He says derby glasses. I've got quite a few derby glasses. I've got, I probably got about 35 years worth. And then I've got a couple of cool antique ones going back to the 60s and 70s. But I don't have the really expensive ones. Speaking of Virginia, did you see they did the turf course burn the other day? We should check in. We should check in with Jill Byrne. But Jonathan Thomas's dad. Thomas had a good weekend. He won a couple. I saw he won some races over at Tampa as well. And also Bill Van Meter. I got to get a hold of William Van Meter. He had two very nice maiden special wins over the weekend as well. Anyway, Okay, the sun, I got to say one thing. They say the sunshine is the best antiseptic, right? It's just so nice to have the sun pouring in. It just lifts your mood. I mean, because, boy, everybody's mood has been, you know, a little downtrodden. Let's take a break. Johnny D is going to join us next. We still got to find Wesley. But later, Evan Hammons and Ed Fontaine and more as we kick off something I've wanted to do for 15 years. Ken Sweezy tomorrow. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Have you heard about the new handicapping and betting app that is sweeping the nation? It's called First Bet, and it puts the power of AI-assisted handicapping.